Hello, witchy friends. Welcome to Catstein Witchcraft. My name is Fauna, and I am your host. This podcast is for those who are Wiccan, witches, and everything in between. Don't forget to follow the podcast social media pages at Catstein Witchcraft on Instagram, Catstein Witch on Twitter, and Catstein Witchcraft Podcast at gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening to Catstein Witchcraft, and enjoy the episode. Hello, witchy peeps. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 120, and today's episode is going to be talking about the sun. A lot of people, when they think about witchcraft or work with witchcraft, is they work with the moon. They associate it with the moon, and they associate working with magic and doing rituals at night. You hear the word like moon water all the time, but there are so many other things you can also do during the daytime. And that's some of the things that we're going to talk about today. But before we dive into that, we have this week's crystal, and that is sunstone. And I obviously chose that because of the word sun within the name to match this week's episode. The first book I have for today going over sunstone is Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Crystal, Gem, and Metal Magic. And that starts on page 166. Sunstone, energy, projective, planet, sun, element, fire, associated stone, moonstone, associated metal, gold, powers, protection, energy, health, and sexual energy. For magical ritual and lore, there are at least two stones named sunstone. One is a form of translucent quartz that has a vaguely orange hue. The other is the Oregon sunstone. Anciently, a form of feldspar that was imported from India was known by this name. In a sense, it resembles an orange opal with a fiery, multicolored flesh. This is the only one used in past times in magic. In the Renaissance, this stone was frequently associated with the sun due to its sparkling orange-gold colors. It was set in gold and worn to bring the influences of the sun into the magician. Symbolically, sunstone is linked with moonstone. For magical uses, it says, in researching this book, I came across several references to this stone, but no concrete information. Finally, at a rock show, I found a dealer who had some sunstones, the old feldspar type sunstone. I said I hadn't seen them before, and he commented that he'd bought them 20 years ago. They were beautiful, and I eagerly brought them back home. Sunstone, like sparkling reflective stones, is protective. Place one in the home before a white candle to spread protective energies through the house. A stone placed in a bag of healing herbs strengthens their energies. The sunstone is also carried or worn to lend extra physical energy to the body during times of stress or ill health. If worn near the sexual region, it stimulates sexual arousal and increases sexual energy. Unfortunately, the sunstone's use in magic seems to have been largely forgotten. No modern stone magic book I've read refers to it, even in passing. If you find a sunstone, treasure it. The next book I have for today for a sunstone is The Essential Guide to Crystals, and that starts on page 98. Sunstone. Most people are familiar with moonstone, with its soft, iridescent, pearly luster. Sunstone belongs to the same mineral family, feldspar, but it contains brightly sparkling inclusions that reflect a warm golden light. Found in Norway and in the US, gem quality sunstone has high proportions of reflective color, best displayed in cabochons. Lesser grades are largely milky white or brown orange with occasional flecks of brilliance. Healing functions, warming, general energizing, encourages artistic skills and expression, feeds a sense of self-worth and promotes a positive self-image, supports a willingness to stand up for who we are. For practical ideas, to lift sadness and depression, place a sunstone at the solar plexus surrounded by four clear quartz points, and a second sunstone at the heart center with four quartz points facing in. If you feel demoralized by the dullness of a long winter, Holding sunstone and looking at its iridescence for a few minutes will help to lift your mood. And for keywords, warmth, self-worth, and happiness. The third book that I have today for reference for sunstone is Love is in the Earth, and that starts on page 628. It says, sunstone is a form of feldspar and crystallizes in the form of masses and tubular crystals. The color range includes gray, green, yellow, brown, orange, pink, peach, and red. Sunstone usually shows brilliant reflections due to inclusions, usually geotite and hematite. This mineral can be used to both clear and energize the chakras. It can also provide for a brightening of the chakras, allowing one to exhibit a floral freshness and a feel of being squeaky clean. It assists in gently removing the hookups which have infiltrated the energy centers, returning them to the source after surrounding them with both love and positive energy. It can be used to dissipate fearfulness, to alleviate stress, and to increase vitality. It has been used to encourage independence and originality and to provide luck in games. It has been used by the Canadian Indians in rituals of the medicine wheel to show to the spirit guides the connection with the golden white healing light of the sun. In these ceremonies, sunstone is placed in the center of the medicine wheel. It has been reported that during contact with the spirit guides, the stone has emitted a golden glow. In ancient Greece, it was thought to represent the sun god, bringing life in abundance to those fortunate enough to carry and wear it. It was often used as an ornamental on goblets and plates and was believed to counteract poison and to produce strength. In ancient India, it was believed to provide protection from destructive forces of other realms. Sunstone is quite helpful with chronic sore throats. It has been used to reduce stomach tension and to relieve ulcers. It can also be used in the treatment of cartilage problems so often suffered by athletes. It was used by ancients for rheumatism, aching feet, and spinal problems were also relieved by physical contact with a large specimen. And the last book I have today to reference for sunstone is Llewellyn's Complete Book of Correspondence. And this starts on page 247 and continues on to 248. Sunstone. Solar system, sun. Element, fire. Chakras, crown, sacral, and solar plexus. Directions, north and northeast. For zodiac, Leo and Libra. Day, Sunday. Energy, yang. Number 1, tarot, the sun. For issues, intentions, and powers. Action, determination. General, sexual, and solar energy. Fear, growth. Healing, introspection. Attract luck. Solar magic. Optimism, protection. Sex and sexuality, strength. Stress, success. Warmth, and well-being. So that is all I have for you today on the crystal of sunstone. So now on to the other sun topic, which is talking about our sun. So like I mentioned a few minutes ago, one of the most popular symbols that many witches use and work with is the moon. So many people do spells, have decorations, worship, and plain rituals around the moon. But I personally do not notice as many people working with the sun. And that just might be from what I see online, and my own personal community is relatively small in comparison to the wider internet and witch community. But in general, I feel like probably a good amount of people forget that you can also work with the sun and not just ignore it until it's dealing with your sun sign and astrology. Currently in the northern hemisphere, it is summer, and the sun is bright, and it's hot outside, it's full of solar energy all around us, but it is slowly turning into fall now that is August. And like I said, I don't see too many people talk about in online forums and social media that they're working with sun magic, or just acknowledging the sun in the same way that they acknowledge the moon when it comes to witchcraft. Maybe some people just don't care to work with the sun, or many might just forget and didn't realize it. The moon is great to work with, don't get me wrong, but in some cases and rituals, the sun may be a better choice. So today I want to go over a little bit of the history of sun worship from different cultures and what it means to some modern magical traditions and some examples of what and why and how you can work with the sun. So before we even dive into the magical aspect of the sun, what is the sun? The sun is the closest star to the earth and the one that is at the center of our solar system. All of the known planets in the Milky Way solar system circle the sun. It is estimated to be about 4.5 billion years old and is made out of hydrogen and helium, and it is about 93 million miles from Earth. It provides us with light, warmth, and it allows us to sustain life on our planet for many, many different ways and reasons. From Britannica.com, it says, although sun worship has been used frequently as a term for pagan religion, it is, in fact, relatively rare. Though almost every culture uses solar motifs, only a relatively few cultures developed solar religions. All of these groups had in common a well-developed urban civilization with a strong ideology of sacred kingship. In all of them, the imagery of the sun as the ruler of both the upper and lower worlds that he majestically visits on his daily rounds is prominent. Generally, the sun is worshipped more in colder regions and the moon in warmer regions. Also, the sun is usually considered as male and the moon as female. Exceptions to these generalizations, however, are notable. The prevalent worship of the sun is hot, arrayed ancient Egypt and in parts of Western Asia. The conception of the moon as a man among many hunting and gathering societies, as well as certain pastoral and royal cultures of Africa, and the conception of the female sun ruling northern Eurasia westward to Japan and parts of North America. In many state cults and ancient civilizations, the sun plays a special role, particularly where it has replaced an old god of heaven. Example, Egypt, Ethiopia, South India, and the Andes, and especially where it is viewed as a marker of time. The sun in Africa, ancient Egypt, was the main center for which solar deity concepts emanated. The solar religion promoted by the state was considered with the sun god Re, Amun-Re, Amun-Re, and Chanum-Re. The sun falcons, Horus and the scarab, and the divine kingdom that was determined by the sun. The sun religion reached by way of More, a sun sanctuary until the 6th century CE, and the Upper Nile as far as western Ethiopia. In Asia, the sun cult culminated in the religion of Mithra of Persia. Mithra was transported by Roman legionaries to Western Europe and became the unconquerable sun in the Roman military emperors. In Japan, the imperial deity in state Shinto is Amaterasu, the sun goddess from whom Jimmu Tenno, the first human emperor, descended. In Indonesia, where the descent of the princes from the sun also is a feature, the sun often replaces the deity of heaven as a partner of the earth. In Peru, the ruling Inca was believed to be the sun incarnate and his wife, the moon. The sun temple in Cuzco contains a representation of Inti as the oldest son of the creator god. The Natchez Indians of the southeastern United States, who are usually connected with Central America, called their king Great Sun and the noblemen's the sun. The sun in some religions is considered as a purely mythical being cultically recognized in sun dances such as the prairie-dwelling Native Americans and in various celebrations of the solstice. These rites may be either survivals of an earlier local cult of a sun deity or influences of such a cult. Another source I pulled from is learnreligions.com, and it says, at Letha, the summer solstice, the sun is at its highest point in the sky. Many ancient cultures marked this date as significant, and the concept of sun worship is one nearly as old as mankind itself. In societies that were primarily agricultural and dependent on the sun for life and sustenance, it is no surprise that the sun became deified. While many people today might take the day to grill out, go to the beach, or work on their tans, for our ancestors, the summer solstice was a time of great spiritual importance. The Egyptian peoples honored Ra, the sun god. For people in ancient Egypt, the sun was a source of life. It was power and energy, light and warmth. It was what made the crops grow each season, and it is no surprise that the cult of Ra had immense power and was widespread. Ra was the ruler of the heavens and was the god of the sun, the bringer of light, and the patron to the pharaohs. According to legend, the sun travels the skies as Ra drives his chariot through the heavens. Although he originally was associated only with the midday sun, as time went by, Ra became connected to the sun's presence all day long. Greeks honored Helios, who was similar to Ra in his many aspects. Homer describes Helios as giving light both to gods and men. The cult of Helios celebrated each year with an impressive ritual that involved a giant chariot pulled by horses off the end of a cliff and into the sea. In many Native American cultures, such as the Iroquois and Plains peoples, the sun was recognized as a life-giving force. Many of the Plains tribes still perform a sun dance each year, which is seen as a renewal of the bond man has with life, earth, and the growing season. In Mesoamerican cultures, the sun was associated with kingship, and many rulers claimed divine rights by the way of their direct descendancy from the sun. As part of a cult in Mithra, early Persian societies celebrated the rising of the sun each day. The legend of Mithra may have given birth to the Christian resurrection story. Honoring the sun was an integral part of the ritual and ceremony in Mithraism, and at least as far as scholars have been able to determine. One of the highest ranks one could achieve in Mithric temple was the heliodromus, or sun carrier. Sun worship also has been found in Babylonian texts and in a number of Asian religious cults. Today, many pagans honor the sun at midsummer, and it continues to shine its fiery energy upon us, bringing light and warmth to the earth. So those two sources are just kind of a breakdown of some of the ancient associations and religions that were associated with the sun. I did notice that the first source had Ra as Re, R-E, and the second one was R-A. So you will notice those differences, and I did too as reading it, and it kind of threw me off at first when I was thinking and reading it out loud at the same time. But the next thing I'm going to go over is lists of different deities associated with the sun. Not all of them are going to be like a main sun god, but these are said to be associated with the sun. There are dozens of ones that I have listed, but I'm only going to go through a handful from a couple different cultures. Starting with Egyptian, there's Amun, Aten, Atum, Bast, Horus, Ra, Sekhmet. In Buddhism, there is Merisi in Suya. In Chinese, there's Zihe in Yuyi and Zikai. In Celtic, there is Lu. In Germanic, there's Sol. In Greek, there's Helios, Apollo, Eos, and Hermera. And in Roman, there's Aurora and Sol. There is a wider list of cultures and deities that are associated with the sun, but since the list was so long, I just threw out a handful. And a lot of them, because of the different cultures, I actually could not even attempt to properly pronounce some of the names. And I didn't feel like butchering them to a point of not even understand what I was saying. Next, I'm going to go over some modern celebrations that focus on the sun. For summer solstice, there's midsummer in Sweden, the summer solstice indigenous festival in Ottawa, Canada, sunrise at Stonehenge in England, Cronia in Greece, Chichen Itza in Mexico, solstice bonfires in Austria, midnight sun festivals in Alaska, Vestalia in ancient Rome, I guess in terms of modern ancient Rome, I guess, is a little more modern compared to some other ancient cultures. And there was also another one of the old one. It was the Mayan solstice in Guatemala. And Ivan Kupla is in Russia, or was in Russia. There was Simra Dim, which is in Scotland. Slingset Balet in Norway. Rasa in Lithuania. Celebrating Yin forces in China. And Astrofest in Croatia. So a couple of them, I don't know how modern or how long ago they may have been and if a lot of them still are celebrated, because when I did this research, it was kind of mixed together. So I would recommend if you're interested in any of those traditions, please look them up, because I don't have that extensive information on each one of those or if I even had all of that accurate, just because I was trying to pull from a variety of sources. So when it comes to symbolism of the sun, there are a lot of different things you can use today in your own rituals. The sun can represent strength, warmth, growth, life, the Wiccan god as well, masculine or active energy, strength, happiness, positivity, and power. Another thing that often uses the sun as symbolism, which is found in tarot. And that will be the sun card. And when it is upright, it is said it represents positivity, fun, warmth, success, and vitality. But reversed, it means inner child, feeling down, or overly optimistic. And like I mentioned earlier, a lot of people only really think about the sun and working with the sun when it comes to astrology and their sun signs, like Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So now that we're getting over towards the end of the episode, the last thing I want to go over are some modern ways to work with the sun. You can use the sun instead of working with the moon, depending on the symbolism type of energy or other intentions that you need for your spells. You can create sun water. You don't have to just focus on moon water. You can use the sun to cleanse your tools and crystals, but not all of them are sun safe because they will fade or get damaged. You can also just grow plants because the plants need the sun to grow. You can do sun walking or meditations. You can work with a sun deity. You can also focus on getting in more attune and connection with your sun sign, especially if it is around your birthday. You can also focus and work with the sun tarot card within spells or meditate with it and see what sort of signs that may come to you. And just like when working with the moon, the sun also has phases like rising, noon, and when it is setting, can be used within different energy varieties within your spells. When the sun is rising, it is something that is building energy. So like the waxing moon, noon can kind of be seen as like the full moon, and the sun setting can be seen as like the waning moon. So don't feel like you have to wait till nighttime or a certain sort of moon energy. You can also consider and use the sun, because the sun is here every day and it's going to rise, be at noon, and set every single day. But with the moon, if you're waiting for a certain phase, you have to wait for almost an entire cycle depending on what phase you're working with. So that is all I have for you today. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and maybe consider working with the sun a little bit more. For those who are interested in following the podcast a little bit more, don't forget to follow it on Instagram at Cats Tea and Witchcraft, on Twitter or now X at Cats Tea and Witch, and you can also send an email at Cats Tea and Witchcraft Podcast at gmail.com. Like I say every week, I appreciate every single one of you, and I will talk to you soon. Have a great one. Blessed be.